And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Hope everybody is being safe today. The roadways once again this morning, a little bit crazy out there, a little bit hairy out there. So make sure you're paying attention and going slow and being careful as you drive into work or back home or wherever you're going this morning here in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. Joe Rex Road, what's going on, my friend? How are we doing today?
Yeah, ice on all our cars this morning. I searched through, and we have another one because a 16-year-old. No scraper. I don't know about you guys. Make sure you check if you have scrapers. I finally found what I thought was a scraper, and it was a brush. Ooh. I've never seen that before. I don't know who bought it, but it's just the brush. What is the point of just the brush?
I don't know.
There's no scraper on it. I took the little plastics, like the handle, and was scraping like little thin lines through the ice, like little. And I'm like,
how effective was that?
Well, it's terrible. So I just like, all right, well, I'll show up 1 second before the show starts, and there we go.
You're here. It worked.
But right. It is a little bit in spots out there. Be careful. I think it's actually worse. I think schools are going on today, but I think it's actually worse. I know down my way, south, than it was yesterday for sure.
Ryan Porth, you've gotten lucky the last couple of days. It seems to have totally missed your area.
I have not hit one patch of ice from Mount Juliet to the studios.
Any skunks?
Well, I haven't smelled any. So
that seems to be a common theme with you.
I haven't received my free COVID test in the last couple of mornings.
Yeah. Apparently, the high skunk population on the way from Mount Juliet over here to Murfreesboro Road.
It's cold for them now, though.
It is cold. Ryan Porth looking great again today. Here on the show.
Appreciate it.
Pristine hat. That's where this conversation began about his hat. It was that one right there.
Yours looks pretty good, though.
Thank you.
It's the same one.
Did you wash that recently?
Yeah.
I was going to say, that looks a little less grimy.
Yeah, nice. Buddy. Go Packers.
That's right. Go Pack. Got the whole Packers ensemble today.
Got like a Packers hockey style hoodie. It's great, too. It's great.
Yeah. Like it.
It's what I do in cold weather. I become totally useless as a human being. I look like a slob. That's okay.
Who doesn't in COVID, you know?
It's true. Nashville Predators big win last night against Detroit, 3-2. Dante Fabbro scores with 59.2 seconds remaining in regulation, and the Predators skate away with a 3-2 win. Joe Rexroad, what did you think of the Predators last night, and how about that big goal by Fabbro to close it out there at the end?
Yeah, Fabbro, we've talked about him, not always in favorable ways. That was a big, big moment, big goal. And Pecorino, to me, you know, it was a winner made possible by Pecorine with some big time saves, one a huge one just a few minutes before that. And I mean, that's my takeaway, is that, you know, Pecorine is good right now.
Yeah.
Rolling with him.
He looked pretty good last night, and there was a time, I mean, they got 4.5 minutes left in the second period. They had one shot on goal in the entire second period. And Detroit had some chances. I mean, it wasn't like either team was generating a ton last night, but Detroit had some chances. Pecorine made some huge saves, and I thought played really well. We're going to get into him a little bit more here in just a second. But offensively, you get a power play goal last night if you're the Predators. A great pass from Philip Forsberg. Ryan Ellis finishes it off. The play by Cunning to get the puck to Fabbro at the end of the game. Fabro's shot finds a way through. I thought that was good. Some nice moments offensively last night. Still think there's another level this team is going to have to reach. And also helps when you're playing the Red Wings, who are 1-8-2 in their last 11 games.
Yeah, I mean, you could be a negative Nancy on this one and say, my gosh, how is it that hard to generate offense against that team? But to me, it's like at this point, they needed anything good to happen.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought the celebration of Fabbro's goal, obviously you're going to celebrate a goal in the last minute, but that looked like a team that, you know, really needed something good to happen.
Ryan Porth, what stood out to you last night about the Nashville Predators?
Outside of 35, it went kind of how I expected. I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game and not many opportunities either way. And, I mean, the Preds, they found a way. Like, it feels like in every single win, they have risen to the occasion in the third period or overtime to nail down a victory. And last night was no different.
Yeah, and it was funny because you fight your way through that second period. Like I said, you get basically 16 minutes into it, you've got one shot on goal, and then Duchesne scores at the end. A great pass by Yarncroke, could not have placed it any better, and Duchesne gives him a 2-1 lead. And you're thinking, all right, you've navigated yourself through this second period. It did not go well, and you've come out on the other side with a lead heading into the third. And then 14 seconds later, Detroit ties it up. And I was thinking, man, all of a sudden the Red Wings are resilient. Where did this come from? But you find a way to get it done at the end of the third period. I thought also it's important to not let the Red Wings get a point in this too. Every game, a divisional game. But just to be able to get that done at the end. Fabro, again, last night, I thought he had some moments defensively, but it wasn't going well. And obviously a new defense partner, Matthias Ekholm, not playing last night. He's week to week, as we learned here yesterday on the show from John Hines. Jared Tenorti steps in last night as a different defense pair, and I thought they had their moments where they struggled a little bit on defense. But Fabro, with some of the bad luck he had earlier this season shooting the puck, starting to turn around for him now. That was kind of just like a floater from the point that found its way through traffic and in the back of the net.
I haven't looked much ice time to Ellis and Josi have a ton.
I'll have to look.
But
I would assume a ton.
Because I thought what you suggested, I thought they might do that, is split those guys up. But, yeah, there's a little bit of a drop-off from Ekholm to Tenorti.
Yeah, I would say so. Ekholm's pretty good.
A smidge.
Yeah, Ekholm's pretty good. So I think we knew that for a long time, but it's evident when you don't have that guy in the lineup just how important he is and how many different things that you ask him to do. Bottom line is it was just, it wasn't perfect. Quite frankly, it wasn't pretty, but they got to win. And that's – you got to stop the bleeding and try to see if you can build on this. And you've gotten – and we talked about it yesterday. I think it's really important that you beat the Red Wings twice. You're halfway there. You've gotten that first one out of the way. You need to play a better game on Saturday because I think if you don't, Detroit, they've got to be hungry at this point. I mean, you're 1-8-2 in your past 11 games. And I was on the press conference last night with Dylan Larkin, captain of the Red Wings, and you can tell. I mean, it's already gotten to the point to them where it's just incredibly frustrating. And they're, 13, 14 games into the season. They're going to come out with a great effort on Saturday night. So if you're the Predators, you got to be ready for that, and you've got to build on it. But just to stop the bleeding and to win the game, I think is important. And now we'll see where they can take it from here.
One other observation I had last night was that Roman Josi seemed a lot more active with the puck on a stick.
He sure did.
He was a lot more noticeable. He was carrying the puck a lot more through the neutral zone, trying to make more plays. I wonder if that's been an adjustment here recently for the coaching staff with Josi to drive more offense.
Yeah, I wonder if it's an adjustment or if he just said, all right, give me the puck.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, which one is it? Is it him or is it systemic? Either way, he looks good doing it.
And he had two
assists. This team could use some of that.
He had two assists last night.
I mean, the first one, he's not going to get the credit on the power play goal by Ellis, but like the sell job that he did to look the entire Red Wings defense off and then get that puck to Forsberg to open up that lane. I mean, that's a high level play that Roman Josi did there. And I agree. I noticed that too. He was carrying the puck a lot more often last night, got the secondary assist on Duchesne's goal as well. They had a couple of chances early on. Forsberg had one like 5 minutes into the game, right in the middle of the slot. They came out. I thought Thomas Greiss played really well. You look at his record.
No, he did.
I mean, it's not great. He's won one game the whole year, but his offense in front of him. You think the Predators got some offensive problems, and they do. The Red Wings offense, it's just not good. They don't have a ton of players out there that can convert.
When is Stevie Y going to make a difference?
I don't know.
I forgot that Stevie. Sam Gagner was in the league, and then he was on the team, yeah. And I was like, all right, well, Sam Gagner, I haven't heard that name in 5 years.
By the way, what kind of leash does Jeff Blashill have? Like, he's been there for a long time, and they have not been good. I realize their roster is not great, so that's the number one thing you look at, but
there's a lot of talk about him being fired. It's probably just going to be one of those, okay, it's time. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard to knock him too much.
But weren't
given
they
what he's working
weren't
with.
They hoping that this year was going to be like a step in the right direction with all the talent that they've accumulated through the draft and all that, and they look like they have in the last few years.
They look like the dead things, just like they did before Stevie Y was drafted in 1983, and everything turned around. There's no Stevie Y out there for him now. No, he's just trying to find one.
Also had the Fabro versus Fabry thing last night. They both scored. That was fun to try to write. And one of my editors, he put Fabro for Robbie Fabry, and I was like, no, man.
Oh, man.
Got to switch that back. I promise.
Well, didn't Fabro get a penalty on, like, didn't he trip Fabry?
Yeah.
It was Fabro on Fabry crime?
Yeah. Wow. William Mace had some fun with that last night. It was good.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, the Red Wings are awful. They're terrible. Oh, yeah. Man.
And, you know, this is, again, the flukiness of the Red Wings beating the Preds in the, you know, the past few years. That's got to end, and it probably does, because just because it's reality, just like Preds Tampa Bay is reality right now. But if you're the Red Wings, you got to be looking at this like, how many opportunities do we have, you know, to get wins? You have to be looking at the Preds as some of your best opportunities on that schedule.
To answer your question earlier, Ryan Ellis had over 28 minutes of ice time. Yep. Roman Josi, 23. The big difference there is shorthanded ice time.
Yeah. Which, like, is there going to come a point where he gets more shorthanded ice time? Like, I know he's been out there.
Where Josi
does, yeah. Like, I know he's been out there some recently, but that penalty kill, they did a great job last night against an awful Detroit power play, but don't you have to put Roman Josi out there a little bit more on the penalty kill at some point?
Probably.
It's like the league's worst power play versus the league's worst penalty kill.
Yeah. Penalty kill won last night.
The Preds, yeah, that's right. The Preds won the battle of weaknesses.
That's what you got to do in these games. You can't let your weaknesses implode. Predators did that last night. Nice win for the Predators, but really, let's be honest here. The story of the game last night for Nashville has really been the story of the past week, week and a half, and that is number 35 in goal. Pekka Rinne was outstanding last night yet again. And quite frankly, I think it's time to have a conversation about Pekka Rinne that I wasn't sure that we were going to have at any point this year. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Breaking down the Predators' big win last night, 3-2 against the Detroit Red Wings. And, Joe, really the story of the game last night for the Predators. Pekka Rinne, yet again, outstanding in goal, made some huge saves. I mean, he had one cutting across the crease on Anthony Mantha that was just unbelievable last night against Detroit, and made some saves that, quite frankly, you need your franchise goaltender to make. Those are the saves we talked about yesterday with Juuse Saros that he's not making right now. Pekka made one last night. I know the second goal by Detroit was not great, and that's one that Pekka would want back. But he made two or three saves in that game that were point blank, right on the doorstep, a breakaway save as well. He was really good last night against the Red Wings.
Yeah, it's what you have to have from your goalie. You know, and I mean, look, especially with the team that struggles to manufacture offense like this, you're going to have to be bailed out a few times, even against a team like Detroit. And that's exactly what he did. And He looks really good right now, really confident. Even the stuff he was saying after the game. You know, it's nice to see this for him because, honestly, I wasn't sure about this year, about where things were going after the way last year ended, considering his age. He's a dad now. You know, time to maybe go off into the sunset and, you know, enjoy some grilled fish, you know. he's for people who don't know, he's supposedly an amazing
apparently so
griller of fish. But here he is. Playing great again, and I know part of this story is that Saros is struggling, but it's still pretty cool to see this happen. I do wonder, because, you know, even last year he had some hot streaks and cold streaks and kind of alternated. You know, I wonder what this means long-term for him.
Yeah, I do too. And look, I mean, you still, if you're the Predators, you've eventually got to figure out, you know, what your succession plan is, and maybe it is, you know, just as simple as you're waiting a couple years for Askarov to get in here and all of a sudden he's your franchise goaltender. Like, that could be the most likely scenario, and you're looking for Saros to maybe be a bridge guy until then. But you need Saros to play better than he's played as of late. Now, you need the defense and particularly the penalty kill to be better in front of him, but it's not like the defense has been all that much different in front of Pekka Rinne. And right now he's just simply making saves that Juuse Saros is not. I mean, last night he was outstanding. And really, you look at the last three or four games for Pekka, other than that road game in Tampa, I think he's been pretty good for the most part. Like, even the road game in Tampa, you're going up against the Lightning and that power play, and we all know how good they are. But you think back last week, Tampa totally dominated that game on Monday. It was 2-1. And then you had a couple of empty net goals when Rene's out of the net. Rene's been outstanding, and he's giving you a chance to win right now. You need to give him some run support. Got a little bit more last night against Detroit, but right now he is giving you a chance to win. I think he is far and away their best option at goaltender right now. And it looks like we have some audio ready. So Pekka Rinne, we talked about him and the job he did last night. John Hines last night after the game was asked about Pekka Rinne and whether or not he's done enough at this point to re-grab and reclaim his number one role for this team. Here's what John Hines had to say.
John, although you will be using both of your goaltenders throughout the season, has Pekka's play over the past week, has he grabbed hold of the number one job, at least for now?
Yeah, you know, Adam, I don't want to go to say number one, number two at this point, but I think Pekka has played, you know, he's given us a chance to win every night. Fortunately, tonight we were able to find a way to win and reward the effort, but what he's doing is he's making big saves at big times. You know, goals are going to go in the net at certain points in the game, and you know, maybe the second one he'd like to have back. But you know, what he's showing now is just, you know, the resiliency to stay with his game. And he came up big. I mean, we gave up some big chances later in the game, and he made some huge stops. So you know, he's really, it's good to see him. It's good to see him play the way that he's playing. And when you give your team an opportunity to win every night, you're going to get a lot of starts.
So the last part of that answer there by John Hines, I think, kind of tells you what you need to know here. And you know, he started it off with, I don't really want to go into the number one and number two stuff, but ended it by saying, you know, you play this way, you're going to give yourself a lot of starts. That kind of tells you what you need to know. Pekka Rinne is this team's number one goaltender right now. He should be this team's number one goaltender right now, and I would expect that to continue at least here for the next little bit. We know things are fluid and things can change, but I think at this moment, Pekka Rinne has reclaimed his number one job.
Okay, so given, you know, his age and everything else that you take into account, is there any chance Saros starts Saturday night?
I don't see it. I don't know how you would. I mean, it's not like Rene's been playing a ton lately, so he should be relatively fresh. I know he's 38, so you've got to keep that in mind, but I don't see a way Saros is starting this game Saturday night.
I mean, there's no like long-term reason to do that for Saros' sake, right?
No.
I mean, that's one thing that's good about the situation is these guys have seesawed,
yeah.
You know, now. They've kind of done this after Saros finally overtook Rinne, and it seems like, man, whoever's playing better is going to play, and that's that, right? You would think that Saros would be able to handle it just fine. Because, yeah, I think it should absolutely be Pekka Rinne Saturday night and until something changes here.
Yeah, and to your point, it's been pretty interesting to see just how he's been revitalized this year. He talked about it when we're in training camp. He was talking about, you know, how he just has a different feel this year. He's approaching it a little bit different. As you said, he's a dad now. He knows he's close to the end of his career and, quite frankly, knows he didn't play well last year and has come in so far and has looked pretty good for the most part. And Pekka talked last night after the game just about the energy that he has, how he feels about his game right now at this point in the season. Here's what Predators goaltender Pekka Rinne had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. I feel like I've felt good since the training camp, and obviously, I want to show it on the ice and play well and get wins for this team. But yeah, I mean, gotta be happy. I mean, for sure, starting from last year, there's been ups and downs for me personally too. So. When I'm playing well, I gotta be happy about that.
So that was Pekka after the game last night, and you know, later in the press conference went on to talk about how he just has a greater appreciation for what this is and a greater appreciation for every game now at this point. And honestly, he's talking like a guy that knows that maybe this year is it. Maybe this is it for him, maybe next year is it, but he knows that he doesn't have a whole lot longer left to play this game and seems to be soaking up every moment while he's doing it.
Yeah. And in the meantime, he is still Saros' mentor,
yeah.
You know, which is interesting too here because you know, Saros is having a tough time, and this was supposed to be the year that Saros takes it over. You're the guy. Prove what you have. Now, it's very early to just – I mean, look, we talked about it last year. I think his ceiling is just not where you want the ceiling to be. That said, you know, it's still early, and I don't think this team gets where it wants to get just on the strength of Rene. And that's also – I have a hard time, and if he proves me wrong, great on him, but I have a hard time believing that he's going to stay this hot this year too. I mean, based on what we've seen from Pecorine last couple of years. So they're still going to end up needing both of them to play well for them to have a chance.
Oh, that's for sure. Like, I mean, especially with the schedule being what it is, I mean, you're going to need Saros to play better. I mean, he's going to get a lot of playing time still, whether he's the quote-unquote number one or not. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter with the way the schedule sets up right now. And then, of course, you know, right now you also don't have Connor Ingram in the fold. We talked about maybe him being a guy that maybe gets a look or two this year, and right now he's in the NHL's player assistance program, and who knows when or if that's going to turn around this year. So a guy that you thought you might have in the pipeline if things started to go poorly with one of your goaltenders that maybe you could give a look to right now is not available. So that's even more important for Saros to find a way to bounce back here. And Porth, as you've said, I mean, he struggled recently in his, the last six starts, an .843 save percentage. I mean,
yep,
that's got to get better. And a lot of that's come on the penalty kill.
Do you know Rene's 5-on-5 numbers?
I do not off the top of my head. I can find
those.
They got
to be awfully good, right?
Yeah.
I mean, overall, they've got to be.
They flashed them on the TV broadcast the other night. I believe it was Tuesday night. And his save percentage at 5-on-5 was like over .940.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That'll win you some games.
Maybe it was like not over .930, but it was still very good.
Either one, that'll win you some games.
Yeah. If this continues, do you feel like he might come back for another kick at the can next year? If he continues to play around this ballpark of being better than he was last season?
Yeah. I mean, he might, for sure. I think some of this is also what does the team overall look like, right? I mean, you know, if they can dig their way out of this and they can find a way, you know, to be competitive and compete for a playoff spot, then yeah, maybe he does come back. Maybe the team makes some additions over the offseason. I don't know. I think there's a lot that's going to go into that decision for Pecorine because he is in a different place right now in his life and he is 38 years old. But I'm not going to totally take it off the table that he's coming back. I would still, if I had to put a percentage on it, I would lean slightly over 50% that this is his last year, but I don't know that.
I would answer that with a question of where does this team go this year and what's it going to look like next year? If he's looking at a real rebuild, like the blow it up stuff we're talking about, I just think that way increases the chance that he said, hey, you know, good time to hand it off to Saros and whoever else is behind him. If they turn it around here and, you know, maybe it's more of a retooling and he feels like on paper they could be, you know, at least a playoff team next year, I think that makes it a lot more likely.
Well, the crazy part to me is he's 38 years old and, like, he's moving really. Like, some of the saves he made side to side last night, I mean, it looked like 2012 Pecorine. And I'm not saying he's going to look like that every time. But just the movement that he still has, the athleticism at 38, pretty incredible to watch out there, that he's been able to continue to keep himself in this good a shape.
Yeah, and you just don't see many goalies at this age. But, hey, I mean, we got quarterbacks playing to 50 now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if Peck is quite on the Brady plan, but he's
– You think he's got that Tom Brady – think Tom Brady's good griller of fish?
I don't know. That might be a little bit too fatty for him.
You think so?
That might be going a little too far.
Do you think Pecorine likes kale?
Yeah,
he does. In fact, I actually wrote about Pekka's kale shakes.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. He has kale shakes that he very much loves.
God,
so there you go.
Awful.
I can confirm and verify
so
this.
Maybe he's a member of the TB12 program.
Could be.
I mean, in all seriousness, you know, that stuff does matter. Nutrition.
Of course it does, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and it wasn't,
I'm a living, breathing example of that stuff matters.
But even pro sports, like pro sports not that long ago, I mean, it was just like, hey, you're in great shape. You're the best shape of your life. Of course you can go have four Big Macs. It's going to burn off anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
did not burn off anymore for Bartolo Colon. No.
Well,
baseball a little
different. Baseball, yeah. I mean, we go back to John Kruk, man. What if John Kruk tried to be on the TB12 plan?
Be tough. It is amazing, though, like Pekka and just the athleticism he had that I talked about, but also, like, the guy, he just looks the same. That he looks like he's the same age as he has the last 10 years. It's incredible.
Stop. Yeah, I mean, it is. Like, again, Brady looks younger.
He does.
You know, it's like there is a way to stop the aging process, apparently.
Apparently, I need
it's
to.
It's not very fun. There's no way it's fun.
No.
But it's possible.
When we come back, the Jacksonville Jaguars made some announcement yesterday with their new coaching staff under Urban Meyer that had a lot of people just throwing their hands up in the air and asking, Urban Meyer, what in the world are you doing? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Doyle will be undoubtedly extremely grateful to and loyal to Urban Meyer. Doesn't make it right, and it doesn't set the right framework, I think. This is where it's delicate, because Meyer's had a history of some questionable characters around him, and here he is bringing in a guy that's got a recently questionable background when there are plenty of other people who could do the job that Chris Doyle's been hired to do.
That was Mike Florio talking about the hire yesterday made by Urban Meyer in Jacksonville. And, Joe, there were several hires made and announced. Obviously, we talked about Daryl Bevel joining the staff as the offensive coordinator. Joe Cullen announced as D coordinator. Charlie Strong announced as the assistant head coach and inside linebackers coach. I thought that was very interesting that he is, you know, going to Jacksonville and taking the job on the staff with Urban Meyer. But what Mike Florio was talking about there is the hiring of Chris Doyle. And if that name sounds familiar, it should. He was a strength coach at the University of Iowa, I believe from 1999 until this past year in June, when reports came out and allegations came out that he used strong racial tones, bullying tactics against players at Iowa. And several players came out and said that to be the case. And he was disposed of at that point at Iowa and moved on, and now has joined the staff under Urban Meyer at Jacksonville. Joe, when you saw that Urban Meyer made the decision to bring Chris Doyle on his staff, what's your reaction to this?
What an idiot. Imagine if you're a black player on the Jacksonville Jaguars, what are you saying?
Yeah. So this is the guy I'm supposed to listen to?
I mean, so let's put it in the context of go back to the Iowa thing. You got to understand, this became obviously a huge story, and a lot of people lined up to give their piece on Chris Doyle.
Yep.
And to speak, which is not easy. It's not easy in social media world. It's not easy if you're a former great player at Iowa. You want to come home and go to the games and all this stuff, and all these Iowa fans are all over. I mean, it's not an easy situation to put your name on the record and say, this is what happens, including, you know, telling one of the players, you know, he's going to send him back to the ghetto. It's a 110-page report or whatever it is. They moved on from him, okay? And this is a guy who, by the way, a few years earlier got the whole team in the hospital for taking this substance, which starts with an R, and it's eluding me right now. I mean, and at that point, like, I had, like, kidney issues.
Yeah.
At that point, people are like, what is going on with this guy? So why, if you're Urban Meyer, see, in college, strength coaches are a big deal. They are a recruiting deal. I mean, people fight over strength coaches. Georgia, Alabama, we know this,
Scott
right?
Cochran, yeah.
Yes, it's a big deal. And he was one of those guys. That has nothing to do with the NFL. There's no – and you can't tell me that Urban Meyer couldn't have found another strength coach. But instead, he brings this on. And again, it's like this league, with all the stuff that's gone on, with all the racism, the talk about racial equality, the NFL force-feeding all these things to show that they've now, you know, they've awakened racially, and now Urban Meyer is going to force feed this, which again is like, we talk also on the coaching front about black coaches not getting the same second chances white coaches get, and this guy gets this opportunity, and I mean, the reaction to me is exactly what you would expect it to be. And I can't imagine what you must feel like if you're a player for the Jacksonville Jaguars today.
And as you can imagine, Urban Meyer was asked about this yesterday once this hire was made and that it was announced, and Urban Meyer was in a press conference. Here's what Urban Meyer had to say on the hiring of Chris Doyle.
Yeah, no reservations hiring him based on the allegations and what happened at Iowa, and why hire him instead of going in a different direction?
Oh, sure. I vet everyone on our staff, and like I said, the relationship goes back close to 20 years, and a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved, and with all our staff. But we did a very good job vetting that one.
So you're confident there's not going to be any issues?
Yeah, there won't.
Going forward?
They're very confident.
That was Urban Meyer. And the part that jumped out to me about that quote is, we did a very good job vetting that one. Really? Did you? Because it sounds like more the same from Urban Meyer to me. I mean, the guy, he's so smug. He's such a guy that has done whatever it takes to win for so long and really has no, I guess, accountability for the moral standards of it all. I'm so sick of seeing it. I'm so sick of hearing it with Urban Meyer. And if you thought that he was going to go to the NFL and just change the way that he operates, I think you're sadly mistaken. It's not going to happen, and this is just more evidence that Urban Meyer, not that great of a guy, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, like the Zach Smith thing at Ohio State, obviously. I mean, let's be honest. I think that the physical stuff was real with him, but that ended his tenure, yeah. Right? And obviously you're talking years and years in which he could have done different things. We go back to Florida, a lot of issues there, you know, Aaron Hernandez, of course, but more than that. See, the thing about this one is I don't think it's not a smart move anyway. Like, okay, look, he wouldn't be the only coach who is a win at all costs guy who
sure.
says, tell me what's the benefit versus cost on this one?
Doesn't make any
sense. We're all talking about it now. Like, what are you doing? And again, it's a strength coach in the NFL. I mean, this is. See, and again, go back to Iowa. So, anybody who covers college programs or is around college programs, the strength coaches are around the players way more than anybody else.
Yes.
Way more. Okay. And typically, they are by far the most popular coach too. That's been my experience. I think you go, and you have to be. It has to be that way, because again, they have access to the players the entire offseason, when the other coaches can't have access to them.
Right.
So there's like the strength coach. It's like the big dude. He's all rocked up, and he's tough. He gets after him, but also like the relationship. The fact that again, all this stuff lined up against Chris Doyle. Over years and years and years, man, that to me should tell you something. So you can talk about vetting all you want, but Urban Meyer knows that his vetting is I knew him for 20 years, right? I mean, we vet him. Yeah, I'm sure you ask hard questions. Are you going to do this stuff? No, and I'm sure Chris Doyle won't. But again, how do you look at this if you are part of this organization? You're a black man in that organization.
Yeah, that's the craziest part about it. And it's not like as bad as those issues are, like as bad as the race part of this is, it's not like those are the only issues that come with Chris Doyle. I mean, there's bullying, there's harassment that goes deeper than just the racial issues that were there as well. So that's the overriding theme of his problems there at Iowa. But there's even more to it than that with this guy that you would take a look at and be like, all right, is that really the type of guy you want to bring into the organization? And to your point, I mean, it's a much different job in the NFL being, a strength coach and working with players that way than it is in college football. But still, like if I'm a player in there and I'm looking at that guy, I'm like, man, I don't want to listen to a word he says. I don't want to be around that guy.
Exactly. I mean, so he's going to have to come in and immediately apologize before even starting the job there. You know, it's just.
And imagine what the process is going to be like to like build up trust with that guy if you're a black player on the Jags.
Right. No, I mean, it's – and so in the NFL, obviously, guys in the NFL, they have their own trainers. This is not – it's not the same kind of thing. There's no recruiting. There's no, we've got this strength coach. Again, Dan Wolkin wrote a column on this, and he brought up the point, like, Do we know the name of any strength coach in the NFL? I mean, I'm sure some people do, you know, locally, yeah, their own team, but it's not like college, right? So now we know one. We know one now. Congratulations, Chris Doyle and Urban Meyer. It's just obviously tone deaf. And, it, you know, again, I don't think like the NFL should – I've heard people say, well, the NFL shouldn't let this happen. I don't agree with that. I mean, I think teams should be allowed to
sure
hire who they want, you know, but it's just – it's an incredibly stupid decision by Urban Meyer.
Lang on Twitter says, so the strength coach made mistakes and now he should never get another job the rest of his life.
I knew someone would say this.
To dig holes forever.
I knew someone would say this. Well, he got a job. He got a sweet job. Yeah. He got a promotion. So, you know, again, this is – the point here is not that Chris Doyle should never get another job, but the point here is what are you saying to people when you do this? What are you saying when you hire this guy?
Exactly. I mean, I'm not here to, you know, say people should never get jobs and never get second chances again, but there are consequences to actions. That has to be the case. And what's the consequence of the action now?
It's not one guy who said – he said something insensitive to me. It was player after player after player to the point that Iowa moved on from, again, a guy who was considered in college football elite, yeah, the best. So, you know, you have to have that proper context. And, again, it's like the benefit of that guy, which was a recruiting draw, I think, to Iowa, even though obviously he angered a lot of players. It's just not there in the NFL. But we'll keep talking about Chris Doyle. He's the most famous strength coach in the NFL now.
When we come back, it is Love Week, the final day of Love Week here on Robbie and Rextro this week leading up to Valentine's Day. We will introduce our question of the day for Love Week and take your responses on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rextro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is the final day of Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Now, we've had a lot of great topics so far. We've gone through the worst first date. We've gone through the best pickup lines. And that still may be my favorite is Rex
Road. Or worst pickup lines.
Or worst. I mean, yeah, I guess you could really identify it either way.
There's no such thing. They're all great. According to scarymommy.com.
Yes.
Favorite new website.
Which, by the way, like I'm scrolling through Instagram yesterday, and you know how those ads pop up? Scary Mommy.
Really?
Yeah.
That's freaky. I swear the phones are listening to us.
It was freaky. I've never been to that website, but apparently you doing it in the vicinity of me, I'm now getting ads.
Well, maybe we're helping. That is weird. We're helping bring scarymommy.com to a new level.
Yes, we are.
I just went to the website, and there's a picture of a cigarette with a line through it, like the real red line through it, and yeah, the headline says, "For F blank 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 sake, please stop smoking."
Oh, okay.
All right. So
trying to do some work there.
Yeah.
Help people stop smoking. That's good. Offering pickup lines. Very versatile website.
All kinds of stuff on here.
So today's question for Love Week is this. What is your number one piece of advice for a long-lasting, healthy relationship? Your number one piece of advice for a long-lasting, healthy relationship. Let us know on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, of the three of us here in this room, you have been married the longest. What would your number one piece of advice be for a long-lasting, healthy relationship?
So when you're making your weed cake.
Thank you.
it is actually very simple. This is going to be interesting, first of all, before I get into that. This is going to be interesting because there's probably going to be some deep stuff in here,
yeah,
some heartfelt stuff in here, but then, you know, maybe some jokes, some
by the
funny
way,
stuff. What will win? What will convince us? Because we're talking about $1,000 gift certificate to Genesis Diamonds.
$1,000 gift card to Genesis Diamonds. So
that's
the best answer wins that later on here in the show.
So part of the question is what will win us over?
Yes.
I mean, farts have done it.
Yes.
I've wanted
Steven won yesterday.
I voted for Weed Cake, but it didn't. It didn't happen. So you never know. But that's part of the question here too. But I would say just be honest and tell us your best, and then give it your best shot. I have a very simple answer to that, and that is to tell each other everything. Obviously, things can really go bad if there's stuff that you're not telling each other.
Yes.
But I mean, even when you're mad, look, my wife is brutally frank with me, and
same here, buddy.
Vice versa, yeah. And honestly, I mean, it's a good thing. I have seen relationships that didn't work out, and I'm thinking of buddies in particular who sort of like, I don't want her to know this, or I would never say this in front of her. Like, say everything. If you got something on your mind, let it out. I think this, if you're afraid of fighting, that's, I think, it's not a recipe for long-term success. Fight. Fight like crazy. Maybe that's my advice. Get in as many fights as possible. But no, I mean, be honest with each other. Talk about every single thing that's happening in both of your lives. And I think that is a huge key.
Yeah, communication is key. I think that's the number one thing. I've only been married for a little bit over a year, so I'm continuing to learn this on the fly. I also think one thing I've learned so far during marriage is you have to pick your battles a little bit. Like, there are things that drive me nuts sometimes. And if I did it's not even just with her. It's just like things in general that drive me nuts.
The cleaning around the house.
Well, the cleaning around the house. I mean, that in and of itself is fine. The next excessive level that she takes it to at times when we're trying to go places is not fine. But there are times where, she's had a bad day and maybe she's short with you or something, and you want to just like get into it there and be like, oh, so I'm going to walk through the door and first thing you're going to start do is yelling at me. But you got to pick your battles.
That's a good one too, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So
there are times where
basically
you just need to bite your tongue.
I just said fight every chance you can fight.
Not every chance.
No, I would yeah. If there's something for real that you need to talk about. But yeah, sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm having a rough day, or she's having a rough day.
Patience is not my best virtue, and you have to exercise patience. More than I have in my life. Love my wife though. Ryan Porth? What's your number one piece of advice for a long lasting, healthy relationship?
Well, I'm not gonna repeat everything that y'all just said, because y'all just spoke a ton of truth on the other side of the glass. What I'll add to that is that some random acts of kindness go a long way.
Yeah.
That, for instance, Amanda and I go to Starbucks a lot and get strawberry refreshers, which she's got me hooked on these strawberry refreshers. It's like Joe, you have a confused look on your face.
Yeah, I've never heard of the refresher.
I haven't either.
It's coffee.
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never had coffee. It's just like it's a fruity drink. I
can't even handle it.
And sometimes on my way home from work, I'll stop by Starbucks and get a strawberry refresher and then surprise her with it, and that makes her happy. That makes her day.
So do things that
make their day.
It also helps to be funny. I'm very funny.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'm self-proclaimed to be very funny, so that helps too.
Funny is kind of in the eye of the beholder, like beauty,
Yeah. Good thing I'm both.
I think I'm funny too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that go over?
I don't know. That's not a consensus. It's not a consensus in the household.
Did you just say that I'm not funny?
I think you're funny.
Okay.
I'm just saying some people think they're funny.
Yeah.
And the significant other does not think they're very funny.
Well, that happens to me, too. There are some things I find hilarious that I get a look that I'm very scared of.
Yeah.
So
I find it, I don't know if hilarious is a word that Porth has never, you never tried coffee? Have we had this discussion before?
You've never, you don't know this about me?
Yeah, he's not.
This is a perfect reason to explain during Love Week.
Yeah.
Because I cannot have caffeine. You know why? Because my heart is too big.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, you did tell me this. Now I feel like a total jerk. See? So here's a great example. Listen to your significant other.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Somebody's advice is never forget your anniversary. That's probably a good piece of advice.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anniversary, birthday.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, Sunday.
Yeah. If you don't know that,
but
be on the lookout.
Please ignore Sweetest Day. Please ignore it. It's so stupid.
Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. John from Nashville text in. Being married for 10 years, my best advice would be communication, budgeting / finance efficiency, and enjoying the journey with each other. Very well done, John.
Yep, those are good. Agree. This will be interesting. Like, to win this, I mean, you know, you got to tell us, you know, you got to tell us real stuff. But is there something that's, because I mean, I think a lot of the themes will be the same.
Sure,
and that's fine. I mean, it's important. It's the real thing. But is there something that where we're like, oh, hadn't thought about it? I mean, I hope so. This could help us and everyone out.
It could
there,
be.
So
this could be both a very educational segment today or journey here today on the show. It also could be very funny as well. I'm very interested to see where this could go. Again, the question of the day for Love Week, the final edition of Love Week this week on Robbie and Rex Road. If you had to give some advice, what would your number one piece of advice be in terms of keeping a long-lasting, healthy relationship going and thriving? Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to all of your responses, or at least as many as we can, throughout the show today. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Tennessee Titans. We've handed out grades all week long for the Titans for position groups. We've gone through the receivers, the secondary, the linebacker, both lines of scrimmage. Today, we're going to handle the special teams for the Tennessee Titans, and we'll also get into the coaching as well. I think that could be very interesting. And, Joe, as you've said, some interesting opinions right now on Mike Vrabel and just kind of where he stands with this fan base. So we'll get to that coming up here to begin the second hour. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.